Chapter 2, The War of Independence. John Adams, second president of the United States. "The revolution," he said, "was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and hearts of the people." However, the overt parting of the ways between England and America began in 1763. The colonies had grown vastly in economic strength through attainment, and virtually all had long years of self-government behind them. Their combined population now exceeded 1,500,000, a six-fold increase since 1700. From the first year after they had set foot upon the new continent, the colonists had functioned according to the English law and constitution, with legislative assemblies, a representative system of government, and a recognition of the common law guarantees of personal liberty. But increasingly, legislation became American in point of view, and less attention was paid to English practices and precedents. Nevertheless, colonial freedom from effective English control was not achieved without conflict, and colonial history abounds in struggles between the assemblies elected by the people and the governors appointed by the king. While the British had been filling the Atlantic coastal area with farms, plantations, and towns, the French had been planting a different kind of dominion in the St. Lawrence Valley in eastern Canada. The British had long resisted what they considered the encroachment of the French. In spite of this lack of wholehearted colonial support, and in spite of several early military defeats, England's superior strategic position and her competent leadership ultimately brought complete victory. After 8 years of conflict, Canada and the upper Mississippi Valley were finally conquered, and the dream of a French empire in North America faded. Clear as was the British need for a new imperial design, one of the first things attempted by the British was to organize the interior. In 1763, a royal proclamation reserved all the western territory between the Alleghenies, the Floridas, the Mississippi, and Quebec for the use of the Indians. This constituted a high-handed disregard of their most elementary right to occupy and utilize western lands as needed. More serious in its repercussions was the new financial policy of the British government. The first step in inaugurating the new system was the passage of the Sugar Act of 1764. This was designed to raise revenue. As it happened, the preamble to the Sugar Act gave the colonists an opportunity to rationalize their discontent on constitutional grounds. The constitutional issue became an entering wedge in the great dispute that was finally to wrest the American colonies from England. It was the last of the measures inaugurating the new colonial system that sparked organized resistance, known to history as the Stamp Act. Trade with the mother country fell off sharply in the summer of 1765. Prominent and organized as Sons of Liberty, and political opposition soon paraded the streets of Boston, from Massachusetts to South Carolina, forcing luckless agents to resign their offices, destroyed the hate of all the colonies to appoint delegates to a Congress in New York to convene the first intercolonial meeting ever summoned on American initiative in Parliament unless they actually elected members to the House of Commons. Contentions. British merchants, however, feeling the effect of the threw their weight behind a repeal movement, and in 1766, repealing the Stamp Act and modifying the Sugar Act. But it was only the year 1767 brought another series of measures that knew all the elements of discord. Charles Townshend, British of the Exchequer, was called upon to draft a new fiscal program, intent upon reducing British taxes by making more efficient the reduction of duties levied on American trade. When customs officials to collect duties, they were set upon by their populace and roughly handled. For this, two regiments were dispatched to protect the customs commissioner. The presence of British troops in Boston was a standing in the disorder. On March 5th, 1770, after 18 resentment, antagonism between citizens and soldiers flared up, began as a harmless snowballing of the redcoats, degenerated in a mob attack. Someone gave the order to fire. Three Bostonians dead in the snow, and colonial agitators had a valuable campaign to arouse hostility toward England. Dubbed the Massacre, the incident was dramatically pictured as proof of British and tyranny. Faced with such oppression, Parliament in 17 did for a strategic retreat and repealed all the Townshend that aren't tea. The tea tax was retained because, as said, there must always be one tax to keep up the right. 1773, Britain furnished Adams and his co-workers with a issue. The powerful East India Company, finding itself financial straits, appealed to the British government and was granted a monopoly of the colonies. The company decided to sell its tea through its own agent, well under the customary one, thus simultaneously making suitable and eliminating the independent colonial merchants. Not only by the loss of the tea trade, but also by the monopolistic, the colonial traders joined the patriots in virtually all the colonies to prevent the East India Company from executing its design. In Boston, agents of the company were persuaded to resign, or either returned to England or warehoused. In Boston, the answer of the patriots, led by Samuel Adams, was violence. On the night of December 16th, 1773, a band of men, Mohawk Indians, boarded three British ships lying at anchor, dumped their tea cargo into the Boston Harbor. Officials almost unanimously condemned the Boston Tea Party vandalism and advocated legal measure to bring the insurgent colonists into Parliament. Responded with new laws called by the colonists. The first one, the Boston Port Bill, which closed the port of paid for, threatened the very life of the city, put to exclude economic disaster. Other enactments prescribed colonists and the summoning of jurors by sheriffs who were agents. These acts, instead of subduing Massachusetts, planned to do, rallied her sister colonists to her aid. And of the Virginia Burgesses, colonial representatives were summoned to Philadelphia on September 5th, 1774, quote, to the present unhappy state of the colonies. Delegates to this the First Continental Congress were chosen by provincial congresses' conventions. A cautious keynote speech resolved that no obedience was due the coercive acts and grievances addressed to the people of Great Britain. The most important, however, was the formation of an association which provided for trade boycott and for a system of committees to inspect customs, publish the names of merchants who violated the agreements, confiscations, and encourage frugality, economy, and industry. His duty was to enforce the coercive acts. News reached and military stores at the interior town of Concord, 32 kilometers. April 18, 1775, he sent a strong detail to confiscate these munitions. When the British troops, after a night to the village of Lexington, they saw through the early morning mist 50 minutemen and armed colonists lined up across the common. Hesitation, cries and orders from both sides, and in the midst, a shot. Firing broke out along both lines, and the Americans ate of their dead upon the green, the first blood of the war for America. The British pushed on to Concord, where the embattled farmers at Northbridge, their purpose partly accomplished, the British force began the return, and Concord was still resounding. The Second Continental Congress met May 10, 1775. Its president was John Hancock. Thomas Jefferson was there too, and the venerable. The real temper of the Congress was revealed by a stirring declaration, the joint product of John Dickinson and Jefferson. Even as the debated, Congress took the militia into continental service and appointed Washington commander-in-chief of the American forces. The difficulty, while still part of the British Empire, became more and more apparent in England, and on August 23, 1775, King George declaring the colonies to be in a state of rebellion. On June 6, a committee of five, headed by Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, was a declaration, quote, setting forth the causes which impelled us to Declaration of Independence, adopted July 4, 1776, of a new nation. It also set forth a philosophy of human freedom the entire Western world. It rested not upon a base of individual liberty that could command general support. Quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever it ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish government, laying its foundation on such principles and orders in such form as to them shall seem most likely to offend us. The Declaration of Independence served a purpose far beyond separation. Its ideas inspired mass fervor, for it instilled among ordinary folk a sense of inspiring them to struggle for personal freedom, self-government, and society. The Revolutionary War lasted more than 6 years in the colony. For many months after independence was declared, severe setbacks. The first of these was in New York. Wally, driven back, was able to keep his forces fairly intact until the September 1777. Ho captured Philadelphia. Nevertheless, 1777 also saw the greatest and the military turning point of the Revolution. British generally moved down from Canada, ignorant of American geography. The Americans twice repulsed the British. Brignolier fell on October 17, 1777. He surrendered. American side. In 1780, the French fleet, which temporarily ferried Washington and Rochambeau's troops in boats down east, totaling 15,000 men, penned in Lord Cornwall's surrender. When the news of the American victory at Yorktown reached Europe, end the war. Peace negotiations began in April 17 to November, when preliminary treaties were signed. These were not at peace with Great Britain. In 1783, they were signed as final men acknowledged the independence, freedom, and sovereignty of the granted the much-coveted territory west to the Mississippi, nation nearly as it runs now. The Congress was to reckon confiscated property of the Loyalists.